Luke Thomas, host of the Luke Thomas Show on Sirius XM Rush 93 and journalist at MMAfighting.com, joins us right now. And Luke, we'll get to GSP, but it was one of those nights you have people that you need to entertain, people that you'd like that maybe viewing you for the first time. It was an everybody goes home happy kind of night and worth your money if you paid for this.
Easily card of the year. Easily card of the year. And beyond that, there were probably some performances on there that you'll get fighter of the year, round of the year, any kind of superlative you want. It was a absolutely magical night. This has been something of a down year for the Ultimate Fighting Championship for a lot of different reasons. And it was something that I think you could say if you talk to the MMA fans, both old ones and new ones, maybe something of a low morale about the state of the sport. And Saturday night, it all got hit into the highest orbit. MMA is at its best when it's crazy and unpredictable and high level, and it was all of those things.
Luke, what kind of concepts and theories about why GSP either A, shouldn't come back, or B, wouldn't do well in a comeback, were kind of blown out of the water with this fight? We've seen it with boxers, obviously. When you see I remember seeing George Foreman come back and win the heavyweight title of the world in boxing, and he was 46 or 47. So age is just a number, especially in this sport. But what struck you about Saturday in GSP sort of exploding hey, he's too old, hey, he's been gone too long myth?
Yeah, well, the thing is, someone like Mayweather could take off a year or two and come back and still be at the top of his game. So you thought maybe that's the window before there's real decline. And George was gone twice as long as that, for 4 years. And remember, 4 years is not just a time where you are not aging that much more, obviously, but the best practices in terms of technique in MMA, they are rapidly evolving. TJ Dillashaw was in the co-main event. He won the bantamweight title. And look at all of the novel ways in which he was competing. 4 years ago, he wasn't doing any of that. So to stay ahead of the game in the way that he has is remarkable. I was really worried about that. George was setting his own traps. It looked like he hadn't missed a beat on what people were doing and that some of his old stuff was still working. And then you're going up the weight class. He seemed to indicate that the weight wasn't natural to him, even if he could pull it off. So we'll see what kind of future he has in the weight class. But Michael Bisping has very good takedown defense and has shut down established wrestlers. He couldn't stop GSP. Yeah, he could get up after the fact, but GSP is just amazing at what he can do at a range of skill sets and now weight classes.
So, Luke, GSP with the victory becomes the fourth UFC fighter to hold two belts, the welterweight and a middleweight, joining BJ Penn, the great Randy Couture, and, of course, Conor McGregor. That fight, do you hold out any hope that fight between McGregor and GSP actually happens? Because it would break all pay-per-view records, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure. Hold out hope. Part of me feels like it's an inevitability. Biggest star of the present versus maybe biggest star of the past. And he comes roaring back in the way that he did. And, of course, had his magical moment at MSG, just like Conor McGregor did. There's all really interesting parallels between them, except that they had this sort of contrast in personalities. I don't know exactly how they're going to get there. He is this huge 185er now. Obviously, he's naturally more 170, historically speaking. But he seems to think he can make 155. He has openly stated it in the past, or perhaps they can find it some kind of a catch weight, but it's very, very hard to say when these things are going to happen, either for St. Pierre or for a guy like McGregor. These guys are so powerful in the game. They have so much leverage. They have the world as their oyster. You have to be very patient about this, but is this fight, someone asked me, is it more likely to happen now than it was, I don't know, 6 months ago, in terms of even speculation? I think it's, I don't want to say inevitable, but it feels very much like that.
There's just so much money. You wouldn't want to leave that money on the table, would you, if you're the UFC?
Oh, boy, that might be the biggest UFC pay-per-view ever. You know, that would, I mean, we're talking about astronomical amounts. You know, and everyone was saying if Conor goes to boxing, that's where he makes the most money. There were some people, and I can't believe they were saying this, but they were, that, well, he should fight in boxing Conor Paulie Malignaggi because he could get a lot of money. Now, even though this is so deeply uninteresting, well, here's the rub with St. Pierre. You could get a lot of money and you could fight in MMA. But here's the problem. What if he fights Tony Ferguson and loses? What if he fights Nate Diaz and loses? And what if that fight between him and St. Pierre loses its charm. What if Pierre goes and gets brutally KO'd in his next fight? I don't find any of these things likely, but MMA is what MMA is. And so a lot of things have to still be in place at a future time to make that possible. But if they're even remotely like they are today, like I said, it is borderline inevitable.
But, I mean, you had Conor McGregor saying that he's not fighting unless you give him a piece of the action. And considering how much money he made in the Mayweather fight, is he not sitting pretty? I mean, many thought that he'd have enough money to retire if he wanted to.
Yeah, he does have enough money to retire, but I guess he still has competitive juices. Yeah, the co-promotion thing or the ownership stake, which is sort of two competing claims here about what he wants. I'll be honest, they're roadblocks. They are roadblocks. I don't know what the UFC is going to do because they have historically said not only do we not co-promote, we'll never co-promote. We'll never put ourselves in a position where we let another guy say he's part of the promoter and it's a dual effort. This is why Fedor never fought in the UFC. But the UFC doesn't have the same kind of leverage it used to. It's never had a guy like Conor McGregor who would be in a position to make those demands and have them sound reasonably rational. This is going to be a huge test for the future, the identity of the future of the organization.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Hell Freezes Over tour. I mean, somebody's going to have to break in this.
But they'll
one.
Be younger than the Eagles were on that too. We hope. You know, it should be at that point.
All right. Great talking with you. That's obviously a lot to look forward to that this happens. If not, where does UFC go if they can't get this one together? GSP's obviously going to fight somebody, and Conor McGregor is the future of this sport. If he retires, are they in trouble?
Ooh, well, Pierre coming back certainly helps things, but you have to wonder how much longer he's going to be around. I would say, because Dana White had made an interesting claim over the weekend, one that sounds totally implausible. He said, well, we're on pace to have our best year ever. Now, I'm assuming it's because they're counting Mayweather and McGregor in some kind of revenue boom. Okay, that makes some sense. But if you don't count that, they have sold up to this point only 2.6 million pay-per-view buys for the whole year. They hadn't had a single one again up until Saturday that even had sniffed. I guess the John Jones one, 800,000, had done well. But again, what's he going to do? So to answer your question, like, this was the incredible down year that was potentially salvaged by the participation of Conor McGregor in the super fight. You know, they can't keep relying on that, and they have to have some kind of new generation of stars. They have to find a new TV deal that makes their product more palatable to a wider audience without having to rely on declining pay-per-view interest, which is another issue. So, yeah, I would say they would be in big trouble without him unless they can, in the meantime, begin to create a new way to appeal to a newer generation of fans and have a better TV deal.